Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is assurance of faith. Am I truly a Christian? This question can cause fearful trembling in believers. God loves to give his children the gift of the full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23 states, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Let us draw near in an exhortation wherein Christians are called to act faithfully upon their confidence to enter by the blood of Christ into God's presence. True heart, in context, this is a cleanse, sprinkle, and believing in full assurance of faith heart that is submissive to God. Heart sprinkled clean, wherein Jesus' atoning work purifies the inner person. Bodies washed is likely a reference to baptism, which employs ritually pure water. The exhortation, "Let us hold fast," calls forth a faithful, unwavering embrace of the confession of our hope, which is the church's agreement to the teachings concerning Christ and his work, teachings that produce hope. For he who promised is faithful, wherein confident hope in God's promises stems from God's trustworthy character. What is the believer to be mostly assured of in the faith? The answer is eternal salvation. The scripture states, "For he is faithful that promised." Promise what? What in all existence has the greatest significance? Is it not endless fellowship with God? Thus, eternal life via salvation is the most important promise. The full assurance of faith is a precious thing, a source of deep peace and consolation, and he wants us to have it. But like most things in the Christian life, assurance is something that is cultivated and grows deeper and stronger over time. It is a gift that God gives to us gradually through frequent testing. Assurance grows by repeated conflict, by our repeated experimental proof of the Lord's power and goodness to save. When we have been brought very low and helped, sorely wounded and healed, cast down and raised up again, have given up all hope and been suddenly snatched from danger and placed in safety. And when these things have been repeated to us and in us 1,000 times over, we began to learn to trust simply to the word and power of God, beyond and against appearances. And this trust, when habitual and strong, bears the name of assurance. For even assurance has degrees. In other words, God's way of growing the sweet gift of assurance in us is by putting us through numerous and varied hardships. The process is designed to be hard. Trials are the way that faith is proven, refined, and strengthened. For James 1, 2, and 3 states, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers of various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Assurance grows through spiritual conflict. Paul writes in Romans 5, 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Excuse me. Other scriptures that speak about the growth of assurance are Hebrews 12, 7 and 8, which reads, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as I with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. The discipline of enduring trials and sufferings ends up proving that we are God's children. Hebrews 12:11 states, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, without them which are exercised thereby. One of the peaceful, consoling fruits of the righteousness of God that depends on faith is assurance. And it's a fruit that is realized later and in increasing amounts. Philippians 3, 9 states, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why has God designed the process of giving us a growing assurance of faith through enduring trials? It may be because we cannot be safely trusted with assurance till we have that knowledge of the evil and deceitfulness in our hearts, which can be acquired only by painful, repeated experience. Like Peter, who confidently promised Jesus that he would never deny him, only hours before he did. We do not realize as younger believers how powerful our sin nature is and how weak our faith is. We do not know how proud and self-reliant we are. It is the fiery trials that apply heat to our faith and cause the impurities of unbelief in the form of doubt, fear, anxiety, anger, jealousy, bitterness, selfish ambition, fear of man, and more to rise to the surface. And when we see the impurities, we can fear our faith may not be real. And that is what God wants. For when we see the horrible sin in us and feel our helplessness to get rid of it on our own, it pushes us in desperation to trust Christ's work on the cross alone. When we see our numerous weaknesses and feel our helplessness to be strong on our own, it pushes us to search out and trust Christ's promises to us alone. We can have no security from gifts, labors, services, or past experiences, but that from first to last, our only safety is in the power, compassion, and faithfulness of our great Redeemer. It is the various kinds of pressing, painful, exposing trials that teach us to trust in Christ for everything, to really live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians 2:20 states, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so God grows the full assurance of faith in us and causes the joyful, peaceful fruit of righteousness to grow in us through trials. He wants our faith to rest fully on the rock of Christ so that we rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:9 states, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. But we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to the Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Our topic for today is teamwork. It is written that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4th chapter, verse 9. Effective teamwork is essential in building businesses and relationships. When individuals work together, they can double their strength and get more done as a team. They also reap the value of creating harmony by working in unison. One of the key components of a great team is providing direction that engages and inspires its members. Compelling direction combined with positive dynamics, supportive context, information networks, and a shared mindset enable businesses to perform strategic tasks and take on new challenges. However, sometimes the Tates want to disrupt the process of achieving the team's goals and objectives. First, there's Dick Tate, who wants to run everything. Rotate tries to change your mind. Agitate stirs up trouble whenever possible. And irritate gets on your last nerve. Whenever new ideas are recommended, hesitate and vegetate, pour cold water on them. Imitate tries to mimic everyone. Devastate loves to be disruptive, and potentate wants to be the big shot. But it's facilitate, cogitate, and meditate who save the day and get everyone working together. A one-man show doesn't get very far. By God's design, all who are in Christ have been made dependent on one another. We may think we can do it on our own, but we can't. We can't fulfill our high calling as members of the body of Christ until we realize that we all have a vital part to play. We are family, and we need to work together to achieve God's will for his glory. Remember, teamwork makes the dream work.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.